is episode 111 of UFO Encounters. This episode, I'm reading from Kay Golden's book, Into the Grey's Abyss, Volume 2. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 11, and this is what Kay has written. I cannot recall any little grey worker being actually there in our master bedroom or at my bedside this time. I do recall that after I lay down in bed, the freaky vibration started in my head and progressed downward into and through my body. I could feel my body becoming nothing but tinier and tinier particles. I felt myself breaking down physically. How then did I arrive on this ship? Was this a more advanced technology that allows for this less complicated way of kidnapping a human? Now they have the ability to commandeer humans without a Zeta Grey physical escort. It is crazy and incredulous. I thought of the cries of the humans from the other rooms, and about the sheer frightening experience they were going through. Terror is only a word. It is not enough to describe the feeling of complete helplessness, an utter unbelievable shock, and the pain that a person feels in this kind of situation. An uncanny otherworldly being abducting a human being in the middle of the night from the bed to be taken to a craft, to be used as they see fit for their purposes. There are no words to truly describe this. My thoughts led to this. Were some of these humans going to be taken multiple times, such as I have experienced, and used for hybridization and training purposes? I looked out of the porthole, which was about 20 inches in length and only 10 inches in height, and it was oblong. I am tall, and these portholes were lower down, about 2 feet down from the top of my head, so I had to get down on my knees to really look out. I saw that we were not out in the darkness of space at all. The craft was sitting in something that looked to be white, silverish, poofy, or fluffy, and I guess this was a cloud. I thought that has to be right. Yes, we were hovering in a thunderstorm cloud, and that is why it looked poofy. And it was silverish because of the moon lighting up the cloud. I wondered if the big craft that I was now on, hiding in the clouds, could be seen by any commercial aircraft flying by. Was the craft caught on USAF radar screens down there below, somewhere in Colorado, at Fort Carson, Buckley, NORAD, Schriever, or perhaps the renamed Peterson Space Force Base? I do not like flying on airplanes, and I have not been on an aircraft since 2015 for our son Adam's graduation in Monterey, California, from the linguistics school there. Before that, it had been about 20 years since I flew anywhere, and I swear to you, I do not like it one bit. As I have mentioned before, the highest I can accept my feet to be off the ground is about 4 feet, and that is on the backs of horses. My father had airplanes, and we went to airports and air shows. I usually wound up sick, and I never liked flying. I find it ironic that I get abducted and find myself out and upward with the Tall Grey and the Zeta Greys. I looked as far down as I could see through the denseness of the puffy cloud, but I did not see anything like city lights below us, so I do not think that we were very close to the ground, or at least the cumulonimbus cloud that we were hiding in must have been pretty high and thick. I saw a bright flash or two of lightning below us, and that was really amazing. Still looking out at this view, I did not notice when Rex was in the platform area, but I heard in my head, "Kay?" That got my attention right away, and I turned to see him looking at me with those huge ink-black eyes of his. He was very tall indeed. He looked taller than before now, with his head almost touching the ceiling of this domed area. It must be a trick of the lighting, or the craft itself, that it can look so huge inside. Rex was standing over by the 3 wide semicircle steps that led up to the platform area, and he was about 15 feet away from me. I noticed he was sporting a silver-blue skin-tight suit, and his long arms were completely covered, except for those bizarre, long, four-fingered, dark-nailed hands of his. He had exceptionally long legs and was pretty skinny with a sort of small pot belly. Rex was wearing short, dark, tight-looking boots over his feet. This is the first time I have noticed this. He still had the light purple sash with strange glyphs or writing on it coming down the right shoulder, and also the black box, or belt buckle. I saw the small raised circles in the centre of it. I could also see the utensil of torture protruding from that small pocket area inside the belt. He started to walk over to me, and he seemed to grow taller when he did this. Rex gathered himself and walked over the floor in three great strides towards me, quite impatiently. When he stood next to me, he touched me with his left four-fingered hand just on my right shoulder, and then into my head came English words. Why contact? I must have had a look of shock on my face when I heard this. He still had his left hand on my shoulder and used one of the creepy long fingers to tap me, as if he were very impatient and I'd intruded on him. With that same finger pressing into my right shoulder, he urged me to walk beside him back to the platform area. Into my head came another thought from him. Busy. Why contact? He took to the steps of the platform with two great strides and then turned his back on me. He was now at the centre of the platform area and looking at something on a flat and almost holographic-looking hieroglyph cuneiform writing, four-sided screen. I thought that my attempt to contact Rex, the tall grey, earlier had completely failed. It was quite shocking to me that I was able to call out to Rex, this otherworldly being after all. I felt now that my last attempt at meditation during the evening must have worked. I was simply stunned. Because the tall grey makes me very nervous, I sort of stammered to him and then pushed these thoughts towards him. I called on you today for your help, Rex, I pushed. Putin, of our world in Russia, is invading a neighbouring country, Ukraine. Humans do not want nuclear war. None of us wants to die like that. I was upset, and so I yelled and pictured Putin's face telepathically. Putin? Rex abruptly turned towards me, making those huge black soulless pools grow even darker and more menacing. I saw pulsing on the front top of his big head. Then I received a loud, clear message in my head. Aware. We know. I was shocked when I received a different image of a man that was not any president, past or present. I heard from Rex again, watch, in my head, and although it was quite cryptic, there was a name in the message. I have not seen this man for a while now, since early 2023. Rex turned to go back to his platform area to continue whatever it was that he'd been doing. Apparently, I was no longer needed. I felt a light touch at my elbow, and it was the small Zeta Grey beckoning me to follow it to the closed doorway area. I guess Rex was done with me. He seemed kind of upset. Emotions again? As if I had interrupted something of high importance that he was doing, and he did not have the time for me. I was thinking over what Rex did telepathically tell me, that he is aware of Putin, and that they know. Rex implied through thought transference that they know about Putin and what he is doing, but never once did Rex imply that they would or could stop Putin. I have since seen reports of UFOs being over Ukraine and Russia, so I do know that the Greys are most definitely watching this situation, and now it has been almost 3 years since the first day of the invasion. I walked out the door of the domed area with my small Zeta Grey companion, and we walked down along the long corridor, past the doors with the screams coming from the rooms, and out to the doorway that I'd become familiar with. We made our way down the corridor and stood in front of a doorway that was closed. The Zeta Grey lifted its left, spindly four-fingered hand up, its palm out towards the doorway that was not there at first. I noticed this time that there is a slight webbing between the four fingers on the small Zeta Grey worker. The doorway was then lit and opened. I tried to line myself up straight with the wall so that when the small grey opened that transporting doorway and pushed me through, I would be ready for it. To my surprise, we both went through the doorway, and even more surprisingly, we both somehow went our separate ways. I wound up back in my bedroom on my bed and landed with a soft thud. The small Zeta Grey did not arrive with me. This episode I was reading from Kay Golden's book, Into the Grey's Abyss, Volume 2. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.